What we're going to be talking about tonight is jumbled priorities. Okay? You ever wish for a 30-hour day?
Yes.
I know that could be counterproductive in some ways, but but when you're trying to get things accomplished and you're running behind and you're looking at the clock and you're wishing if you just had a little bit more time, I've been there certainly. Our lives are filled with unfinished tasks, and they leave a trail of unanswered letters for those of you that still write letters, or things that we intend to do. You ever thought about this? A mother's work is never finished. Neither is that of a student, a teacher, a pastor. As we grow in experience of what we do, the demands grow to match it. We find ourselves working more and enjoying it less. We call this the tyranny of the urgent. When we stop to evaluate the dilemma, we realize that it goes deeper than just a shortage of time. It's basically a problem of jumbled priorities. We get our priorities out of whack sometimes. It's not the hard work that oppresses us. It's looking back over weeks, months, or even years, and we look back at these things that we still haven't done yet. We've left undone the things which we ought to have done, and we've done the things which we ought not to have done. We live in a constant tension between the urgent and the important. There is a difference. If you're in John chapter 17, verse 4, the answer to this problem, Lord willing, we're going to look into tonight. He said in verse 4 of John chapter 17, "I have glorified thee on earth." He's talking to his heavenly Father here. Then he says this, "I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for your word. And Lord, because your word is living and powerful, I know that you have something for us in it tonight. And I pray that you would help me to relay that message tonight to your people. Help us, Lord, to learn what we should. Help us to make application. Put it into action in our life. And I thank you for that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I was thinking about this just as I was sitting down there on the pew. Why do we do what we just did? We read a passage of Scripture and then we stop and we pray. Why do we do that? I don't know if you know the answer or not, but I think the answer is because we want to find out what the Holy Spirit wants.
Right.
And we want God to speak.
Amen.
To us.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
That's why we do it. How often do we do that throughout the day? Facing all kinds of dilemmas. Especially when we're talking about the tyranny of the urgent. The things that we really need to accomplish, but yet there are things that are biting us at the ankles.
Yeah.
Grabbing for our attention. Do y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Do y'all live there sometimes?
Yes.
Maybe even now? Mm-hmm. If it's important, and it is, for us to stop and take a minute and pray in church and ask God to give us direction, open our eyes, show us what He wants us to see, then it's important any other part of our day, any day of the week.
Amen.
Right? Jesus said here, He says, I've finished the work which thou gavest me to do. It's interesting that He said, I'm finished. I've done what you've said. It's interesting because for every person that followed Him, there were thousands that didn't.
Right.
For every leper that He healed, there were probably hundreds that still had leprosy. Mm-hmm. On many occasions, Jesus worked late, healing people and meeting their demands. At other times, He said, send them away.
Mm-hmm.
They were still hurting. They were still leprous, blind, impotent. And He said, send them away. Was that important? Yes, it was important. But it wasn't what God said for Him to do at that time. This is important that we recognize. What was His secret? Turn to Mark chapter 1, if you would. And again, God's Word gives us direction. It answers our questions. It tells us what we should be doing, should not be doing. It tells us what kind of heart we ought to have in the middle of it. So He says here in Mark chapter 1 and in verse 35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. I don't know what a great while before day is, but just like Brother Tommy stated this morning, at 7 o'clock, it was still dark outside.
Yeah.
I did the same thing. I was looking out the window, I thought, this ain't good. Because tomorrow I need to walk outside at 7 o'clock and start loading some equipment up, and I won't be able to see very good without light. It's going to get better. But Jesus rose a great while before day. I don't know if that meant 10 minutes. I don't think so. I think it probably meant hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Who knows? Before day. Why'd He do that? Wasn't He sleepy? The Bible says that he got weary.
Yeah.
He got tired. And it is weary and tiring to do what we do, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do y'all get tired at night, 8 o'clock? Are your eyes getting a little droopy?
Yeah.
And you're just exhausted, right?
Yeah.
And you go to bed, and you're glad to go to bed, and then the next morning comes and that dumb alarm clock's making racket, and you're thinking, really? I just got here. And you're wanting to stay in bed longer. Sometimes you do. Then we get up in a rush, a mad rush, to get out the door and get moving, right, and get on with life. But we fail to do something. We fail to go to God and say, Lord, what's my assignment for today?
Amen.
Jesus did that. It records it here, but I don't think there was a day that He ever missed it. By the way, He didn't just talk to His Heavenly Father at that time of day. He did that throughout the day.
Amen.
Every day. So, what was his secret? How did Jesus say, I've done everything that you've told me to do? In the midst of a world of turmoil, in the midst of thousands of people who were not saved, in the midst of thousands of people who were sick, they had leprosy, they had blindness. He said, I'm finished. I've done everything you told me to do. What was his secret? How did he know? How can we know? Mm. We face the same dilemma. He spent time with the Father seeking instructions.
Right.
He discerned his Father's will for that day, and then he commenced to obey it. If we're not seeking and following his plan, whose plan are we following?
Mm.
You will serve God on purpose, or you will serve Satan on accident. Is that extra 20 minutes of sleep worth looking back and saying, I sure wish I had done some things different? I've never had a man come to me and say, I sure wish I wouldn't have spent so much time with my family, my children when they were young.
Mm.
Never had anybody say that, but I have had many men come and say, I sure wish I would have spent more time with my children.
Yeah, amen.
Where has time gone? They're not even in the home
anymore.
I've never had a man say, you know, I just spent too much time with my wife. But I have had many of them say in deep regret, I sure wish I'd have spent more time just sitting and talking with my wife.
Mm.
Sometimes the important grabs our attention, and the things that are really urgent gets lost in between the cracks.
Mm.
Jesus warded off these things, and he accomplished the things that he should have accomplished. There were some things biting him at the ankles. In fact, if you look here in Mark, we read on from verse 35, it says, and Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, look at this, all men seek for thee. In other words, there was a lot of things that was just around the corner that he could go do and would be needed, right?
Yeah.
Verse 38, and he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. How do you know that? And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and got his instructions for the day. There he prayed.
Mm.
That's how he knew it. You ever wonder, did I do what I should have done? Did I say the right thing? Is that what God wanted me to do?
Mm.
Or what does God want me to do here?
Yeah.
There's so many options, right?
Right.
Could it be that we're wasting much of our waking hours doing things that are pointless? I'm afraid the answer is yes. I am afraid we spend a lot of time doing things that are pointless. Not things that are necessarily bad, just pointless, because it wasn't what God wanted us to do. You know, God has more things for us to do than just go to church on Sunday.
Amen.
He's got something for you to do tomorrow.
Yes, amen.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Even Saturday on me time.
Mm-hmm.
God has something for you and I to do every day of the week. What is it? It's not always the same either. I do think that we spend a lot of time doing things that are pointless.
Mm.
And because of that, we're being disobedient to God. We're not doing what He wants us to do. Instead, we're doing something else. And by the way, Satan will be satisfied to get us to do good things instead of doing what God said.
Amen.
Which is great things. He is involved in this issue that we're talking about tonight. Lazarus, you know, he got sick, and his sister sent a message to Jesus, said, "Jesus, please hurry up. Come. Our brother Lazarus is sick." He got the message and stayed right where he was at for another couple of days.
That's right.
What can be more important than hurrying up and getting there and healing Lazarus? The answer is doing what God said. And God had a different plan. Right? And that plan was to show His power in raising Lazarus from the dead. How did Jesus know what to do on that day? He loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus.
Right. The
Bible says so.
Yeah.
The only time in the Bible that the Bible says that Jesus wept was in that story. John chapter 11. Mm-hmm. I know that verse well, because Jesus wept is so easy to memorize. If anybody said you need to memorize some scripture, I said, all right, John 11:35. But how did Jesus know that He didn't need to go and heal Lazarus? He spoke with His heavenly Father. That's how He knew. He got His assignment. Look in John chapter 8, if you would. John chapter 8. Verse 36. By the way, one of the things that we so desire is freedom, right?
Yeah.
We just want to be free. Right here, the Bible tells us how to find that in verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Many of us have experienced freedom from sin and the eternal penalty of it. Yet we suffer from the tyranny of the urgent.
Mm.
Jesus said in this same chapter, verse 31, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. Verse 32 says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
The word continued denotes the idea of constant persistence in the activity of obedience to God. The same word is used in the book of James, where he's talking about being a doer of the word and not a hearer only. He says that we are to continue. That again, that denotes the idea of all throughout the day. In other words, we don't give to God just a 10-minute time in the morning talking to Him. He desires a relationship with us all throughout the day.
Amen.
Right? There's no possible way for us to obey God's specific assignment at 2 o'clock in the afternoon when we've failed to ask Him for guidance at 6 o'clock in the morning. Could it be that the worst sin that we've ever committed is the sin of prayerlessness? Usually we think of sins that are bad, such as murder and rape and stealing and drunkenness, things like that. But the root of all sin is self-sufficiency. I can do this. I did it yesterday. It worked out well. I can do it again today. And tomorrow. That's sin. That's not depending on God. Remember, there were days when Jesus would stay up late healing people. And heal people all day long. Till He was wore out.
Right.
And then we just read a passage in the Bible that says that another group came and He said, just let's go to another city. How does He know? How can we know what God wants? Tomorrow may be a totally different day than what you think it's going to be.
Amen.
How are you going to adjust? How are you going to respond to the change? If you don't spend time with God and asking Him for direction and wisdom, it's not likely you're going to have it. We may not say it with our lips, but we say it with our actions. I don't need God. Prayer for waiting on God is vital to effective service to Him.
Amen.
Kind of like a timeout in a football game. Why do they take a timeout? To gather their thoughts, get direction, find some help. I need a good trick play here or something. Right? We're going to lose if we don't do something different. God impresses on our minds the assignments that He wants us to undertake. And by the way, He knows our limitations.
Yes, amen.
It's not God who loads us until we bend or crack with an ulcer or a nervous breakdown. These come from us taking on things that we didn't really need to be taken on. We're spending our time trying to take care of things and solve problems that we didn't need to be solving. So what's the answer? I don't know about you, but I've been there many times. We used to live and work at Camp Tracy Children's Home. And for quite a few years, it was difficult for me to understand this principle. In fact, I don't know that I did. I know this. There was many, many, many times where I would handle a problem, a legitimate problem that needed to be handled, instead of spending time with my wife and my children. That was a problem. I remember one night in particular, the phone rang around midnight when the phone's not supposed to ring. And he said, Brother Bruce, you need to come down here. We've got a boy that is I don't really know what to say about it. Just come down here. I got down there and the boy was running around out in the front yard because the dorm parent had him running laps. But he would only run for a short distance. And then he would stop running, get on the ground and start acting like he's digging. What are you doing? Trying to find my paces. Lost my paces. Talking about his schoolwork. That's what they called them, paces. Get up. Take off running like I told you to. Yes, sir. Take off. Run. Run for about 20 feet. Drop. Start digging in the ground again. Somehow he had found earlier that day some Jimson weed. You ever heard of that? Anybody ever heard of Jimson weed? That's a good thing. If you ever do, don't eat it. Because it'll make you see things that aren't there and do things you ought not to be doing. That's what it was doing with this boy. We wound up having to take him to the hospital and they pumped his stomach out with charcoal and he was fine later. But I left there that night, left the dorm, came to the house. Jeanette was still awake, of course. And I got in bed and I lay there and she said, I sure wish you would get up in the night and sometimes and just talk to me. Mm-hmm. And really, I think it was the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking through Jeanette to help me to see that I have put some things in front of her that ought not to have been there. Mm. Have you done that? Have you let some things take priority over the things that are important? Greenwalt, which is the president of DuPont, said this: 1 minute spent planning saves 3 or 4 minutes in execution. 1 minute spent planning saves 3 or 4 minutes in execution. In other words, if you just take a minute and think about what you're going to do, you can probably do a better, quicker job doing it. And if we're too busy to stop and take spiritual inventory and receive assignments from God, then we become a slave to the tyranny of the urgent. We will remain busy and even overloaded, yet not fulfilling God's plan. What are you doing right now in your life? What are you not doing in your life that you ought to be doing? If you look back and say, I wish I had done some things differently. Or you might could look back and say, I am so glad that I made the decision to not deal with that, not handle that, so that I could do what God wanted me to do. Some things are clear. For instance, it's clear that I need to spend time in my Bible study.
Yeah.
It's also clear that I need to spend time with my wife. And when our children were at home, with my children. And even when I get time to spend with my children at their home, that's time well spent. That's clear. But there's a lot of things that sometimes are unclear to us. We've got all these things that are around us just popping up that are grabbing for our attention, right? Mm-hmm. And we don't really know which fire to put out first, right? Maybe it's time to take a time out and get along with God and say, God, I don't know what to do. I've got all these things that are pulling me and trying to get my attention, and I just need some help. I need guidance. Please show me. How important is your prayer time to you? God's way is clear. If we continue in His Word and regularly seek His direction throughout our day. But if we don't, it'll remain foggy. It'll remain unclear what we're supposed to be doing. And we will look back one day and say, I don't know where I missed the boat, but I have failed to do the things that God told me to do.
That's right.
No one wants to get to that day and say that comment. I don't.
No.
I hope you don't.
No.
The answer is clear. And the answer is seek God. Rise a great while before day. Take some time outs throughout the day and ask God for direction, wisdom. That way we can see clearly what we're supposed to do. And at the end, we can say with assurance and peace the same thing that Jesus did. I have finished my job. It is complete. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank You for Your Word. Lord, I thank You for Your direction. I need that. Lord, there's no point in doing anything that You don't want done. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to see those things that You want us to do each and every day, every hour of the day, so that we can end the day and be able to say, we have done as You have commanded. I thank You for that, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and turn to 481.